Eisenhower had a Gunther or had somebody that had some experience, or Beetle Smith, I guess, or Will Clayton or somebody, but I don't know where we got them now. And they're going to feel this gas thing has really just got all out of hand. It's got everybody upset.
When I was there, I stipulated that no defoliation, no gas be used without my signature. They'd bring me in the paper, and I would say, before I look at the paper, tell me whether the chief of state of Vietnam has initialed this. And they said, no. Well, I said, I represent the chief of state of the United States, and this is Vietnam, and I'm not going to look at it until the chief of state of Vietnam has signed it. And you eliminate a lot of them right there. You can't treat this gas thing as though it was the same thing as using machine gun bullets, which you do leave the decision on that to the local commander, and you should. But with public opinion feeling the way it does about gas and about defoliation, the ambassador ought to have that right on his own desk. And it's that kind of thing which a man who hasn't been in politics just doesn't see. To a military man, it's just another weapon, you know. You can make a case for that. It requires a man who is who does perceive the political factors, and to whom political factors are very real. In fact, I think the whole success of the enterprise depends on politically minded representation at this time. And I certainly will think about it, and maybe the thing to do is to send me back. I don't know.
Might be.
What?
Might be. I hate like hell to murder you by sending you there, but it's something you ought to, well, give some thought to.
Well, I want to talk to Emily about that, and that might be the greatest service I could perform. It's not that I'm such a hot shot, but I do speak fluent French. Now, that's very important out there. I have had a lot of experience with the military, and that's very important, because you just have to work with them. And yet these political factors are the key factors. And I will think about that, Mr. President. And
don't you mention this other thing to another human, because
no.
When I do it, I don't want anybody to know it until I do it, and I want some John that nobody in the world would question. I've got to, they're going into hearings right now to determine what they do with half of the prime time in the evening on every big newspaper owns a station, every big city has the stations in the United States. And it's going to, I want somebody there that wears nobody's collar, that is responsible only to his God, not even his wife or me, but just that I know I don't have to look over his shoulder, that he's just going to do what's public interest. And then you give me a ring back any time you can, but as soon as you can, and
well,
then they'll give some thought to this other thing, too.
I'll call you tomorrow?
Yeah, I wish you would.
I'll call you tomorrow morning?
Call me early in the morning as you can. I'm wake up from 7 o'clock on, and any time you want to after that, you call me. I usually stay in my room from 9 to 10 and talk to the cabinet and try to plan things and see folks, but you just tell the operator anytime you call me, I'll be right on the line. I had kind of looked at...
Let me say, Mr. President, I are tremendously touched and honored. I am by this. I
don't want to put you on the bench. If I did, I'd like to have you on the court here or someplace close by where you didn't have to spend all your time in the books digging, but where you could philosophize a little bit. You could sit around with the group some, and you could have some folks in of Georgetown, and you could come over and take a walk with me, and that you'd be a more or less of a freewheeler and the sole owner of your name and not obligated to any person or anybody. Yet give me a little companionship and give me a little leadership and give me an idea now and then. I don't get any much out of Dirksen. Cooperates with me pretty well, but they're up there and he's a much older man. Eisenhower and I hit it off just wonderfully. I just feel so good. I feel like I've had a big drink of whiskey when he leaves town. And he came in the other day and went over all the Vietnam thing with me, and his idea and mine were just exactly alike on everything, and I just listened to him. But we're about the same types of philosophy.
Yeah.
And you and I are.
Yes.
I feel good when we get there. I don't want you to get out. I want you to sit around. And there are not many in this town you feel that way. And if they do, why, they go out and go to practicing law or get you in trouble or making money or something else or selling you. And,
well, I don't
want
to do that.
Of course you know. Nobody knows that. I know that. I don't want folks like that. I waked up here and I just thought it's something out of heaven almost. That God, here you are sitting up there and you ought to be sitting down here. And
well,
you don't have to work at it any more than you want to. You can go to Florida and you want to and come back and you want to. And you can always put your hat on and come over here and take a walk with me. That's the most attractive part of it.
Well,
and if you have to go out someplace, why, I can send you abroad. Anyway, you give thought to it. If you can do it, we can do it. If you didn't like it in 6 months, we can always bring in 1,000 people. Dirksen said the other day he'd sent me 117 names, but I just I want somebody that's that I'd like to have.
Well,
and then we'll give some thought to this other thing too, and we'll see what happens in July when comes along there. And anyway, we ought to be close where we can philosophize and where it's a natural, normal thing, where you can come in to a little dinner and a little dance here and get back in the run of things without having to go at it 18 hours a day. And then you'll find you'll be wanting to do something else. In my judgment, you'll do this for a while, and then you'll say, well, hell, I'd like to take over this desk, or I'd like to do that, or maybe if you talk about your French, maybe something happens that after a year, Chip Bullen wants to move, or maybe somewhere else abroad. We can't tell. Anything I've got, though, that you can do and we can work out, I'm not a partisan. I want Republicans. I can't find enough Republicans. I can't find enough good ones. And there's no Republican in the party that I feel closer to than I do you and Eisenhower.
Well,
and I just do that from how you approach public questions and how you know how to handle me.
Well, I think it's quite marvelous with all you have to do that you should have given so much thought to something that would be so nice for me, and that and that you've given so much consideration to my own welfare.
Well, it's nice to me. I'm just pure selfish. I just want to...
Well, it's a trait that you have. I've observed that in you a long time ago. You can really get yourself interested in other people. You're a very unselfish man, and it's a tremendous trait and a very unusual trait, the way you can sink yourself into somebody else's...
I wouldn't give a damn what Bricker thought about what I was going to say to the Congress the other night, but I would have... I'd like for you and Ms. Lodge to have had dinner with us before we went up. And
yeah.
I'd like to have your reaction, and like you told me, you're playing hell there. I wouldn't do that. I'd cut this out, or I'd add this. That's what I need. I don't want a George Allen.
Yeah.
But I want a confidant and somebody that looks the other side and is interested in what history is going to say about him and his family and also this period. And I think you have very unique and unusual qualities of personality, of heart, of brain, and of training. And I want to just, you talk about how, what about me? Well, I'm just a selfish bastard. I like to use them. You think it over and call me.
Well, I will. And
you think over this other thing, too. Don't say anything to anybody about it. Let's let's do it, and then another thing I want you to do, I want you to look for some young Republicans. You ought to talk to George that could be pulled in for some of these places as undersecretaries. I just appointed a man to undersecretary of the Army yesterday, Reeser from New York.
Yes, I saw
Republican,
that.
And he's a good one, Phi Beta Kappa and clean, and he's going to be the secretary of the Army. I want to move them in. I got lots of Republican votes because you weren't nominated. I got them. And I want to build them. And
I tried to help you get them.
I want to have a reasonably nonpartisan government. I don't want any ward healers. So I need some, and I can't get them from the organization. The people they serve up to me just are dogs.
Just dead beat, yeah. Yeah,
that, well, it's somebody's owned for 20 years out in Ohio or somewhere.
That's right.
Or somebody that hates everything. Or somebody that thinks his country's already gone to hell.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Some butcher or something.
Oh, yeah, you can't have that.
Talk to George and get me 8 or 10 young people that are between 40 and 60 that have a slight progressive philosophy that we could name.
Well, we have.
Milton Eisenhower, 15 years ago. He won't leave the university now, but
yeah.
What you were. And then you can help me on a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
I'd like to name 2 Republican judges right now in District Columbia. I don't know a damn one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lifetime jobs that the Democrats are running over me to get, but I want to balance them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want a Democratic court in this country. But I don't really have any good contacts in that area.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not close to Goldwater, and he had the organization, and he had the committee. But you had some folks for you in some of these states, and some of them you know, and your boy knows, and your friends know.
Yes, I had quite a lot in Republican primaries last year in the states where you had popular primaries.
Well,
I did quite well. George knows who they are.
Let's find them, and let's get a list of them, and we'll start drafting some after I draft you.
Well, Mr. President, I'm very much touched and very grateful to you. And shall I telephone in the morning?
Yes, sir. You call me first thing in the morning.
Well, thank you.
You're thinking about everything else you can, so you can give me the benefit of anything I need to know.
Well, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.